Well, today I am going to continue a series that we've been in for the past couple weeks called What Grows Here. This series is not just about what grows in us personally, but it also is about what grows in us as a community, as a church family here at Zayo. What kind of people are we becoming? I don't know if you think about that a lot, but who are you becoming? What are you doing to help who you're becoming? What kind of church are we building here? Because healthy roots produces healthy fruit. And the truth is, whatever takes root in us eventually will grow through us. So in this series, we're taking a time to look at the fruits of the Spirit. They're on the screen. We find them in Galatians chapter 5. We'll read it in a moment, but they're right here. Why don't you repeat them with me? They're on the screen. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, this is not about behavior modification. This is about something deeper. This is about spiritual formation. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not something that you just manufacture. It's something that the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit can produce within you. So here's why this series matters. Because the hope of our faith is not just that one day we'll go to heaven. The hope of Christianity is that we would become more like Jesus today. That's the hope of our faith. That there would be actual evidence that the Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every one of us. You know, I believe that people in our culture are hungrier for God now more than ever in my lifetime, because we see the world and the culture we live in and we realize something is missing. But here's the problem. I don't think people are rejecting God, they're rejecting Christians. Because somewhere along the way, we weren't about the fruits of the Spirit. We became more known for our outrage and our hate and our anger than our love. We've become known more for our arguments than our compassion, for what we are against rather than what we are for. And here's what I got to tell you. I said this in week one. We cannot make a difference if we ain't different. If you look like your neighbors, you act like your neighbors, you sound like your neighbors, you ain't different. You're just like them. God wants to do something significant inside of each and every one of us that actually becomes the evidence of the faith that we profess. Not this fake stuff, not church performance or religious behavior, but that we allow Jesus to do a real, true transformation from the inside out. So instead of asking this question that was so famous, what would Jesus do? What I'm presenting is, why don't we just do what Jesus did? Because fruit tells us where we're actually at in our faith with Jesus. You see, there has to be some evidence to your faith. The fruit, if I watched your life, the fruit that you produce actually tells me where you're at with God. So it's not something that you can manufacture or work on. It's actually who you're truly becoming. And you can't fake it. It's like how you live, how you treat people, what you sound like, what words come out of your mouth. It's actually revealing to everybody else what's happening on the inside of you. But here's the good news. We serve a loving God, and He wants to put these things inside of each and every one of us. So as we walk through this series, I want you to look at our theme verse together. We said them a second ago, but I'm going to read you the scripture, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it ends by saying this, against such things there is no law. That last line is everything. Against such things there is no law. In other words, I can't law these things into you. I can't just stand up here and say, hey, everybody, love more. You got it? Do it. Go for it. Be more patient. Hey, have more peace. You're like, you're an idiot. I've been trying, and I can't figure that out. These things must grow from the inside out, and that's what we're talking about in this series. So 2 weeks ago, I kicked off this series talking about the very first fruit, which is the fruit of love. It is the foundation for all the rest. If you missed that one, go back and give it a listen. Last week, Pastor Mark brought a great message on the fruit of joy. Did you guys enjoy Pastor Mark? Great job, brother. You did a great job. And today I want to bring a message on the third fruit, which is the fruit of peace. This is a big one, y'all. We are living in the most anxious society in all of modern history. Anxiety is the number one mental health challenge in America right now, and it's not slowing down. Us as pastors, we counsel all the time. I'm telling you, this is the one that comes up almost every single time, anxiety. Makes sense. The economy, the news cycle, the political climate, social media. All you have to do is wake up, look at your phone, and within 45 seconds, anxiety has reared its ugly face. But here's what makes this personal for me, because two groups being hit the hardest by anxiety right now are young people and parents. Young people are experiencing anxiety at levels that we have never seen before. That's one of the reasons that we fight so hard to have an amazing youth group here at Zao Church for junior high and high school students. We meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we create a culture where students can come plug in and hear the Word of God, experience the presence of God. We have a great worship team, and I've committed to having this so severely that I am the youth pastor, okay? Like, I want to have an amazing youth group, and I preach every Wednesday night to our students. That's how serious we are, because we want to provide something for these students, because we know that they're struggling with anxiety. And it's bad. But the second group is parents. And if you're a parent in the room, I don't need to explain this one to you. You already feel it. Parenting is a full contact sport. When they're little, it's physical, no sleep, consistent movements. You're basically a human juggle gym for the first 5 years. But then they get a little older and it shifts. Now it's emotional. Now it's relational. It's more tricky. It's spiritual. Watching your kids navigate school relationships and friendships and tests and teachers, the pressure, the identity, the sports. You're standing on the sidelines watching your kids grow up, doing all that you can do to not just simply fall apart. But it's not just parents and it's not just students, it's all of us, because anxiety doesn't discriminate. We've all experienced some anxiety in our lives. It shows up in the waiting room, in the inbox, in the empty side of the bed, in the bank account, in the diagnosis you weren't expecting. But most of us know the problem, we just don't always know the solution to the problem. And here's where we usually go looking for it. We look for a better method. I can solve this problem. We look for a technique, a breathing exercise, a productivity hack, a better routine, a self-help book. I will figure this thing out. And those things that you discover may help you for a moment, but they were never designed to give you peace, because they're not the source of peace. They're just management strategies in the absence of peace. So today I want to look at what the Bible says gives us peace. Not just this self-help version. I hate that. Here's another one I hate. Positive vibes only, right? We're not going there. We're talking about the real thing, all right? And here's the truth I want to plant in us before we open up the Word. Peace is not a feeling you chase. It's not a technique that you learn. It's not the absence of a problem. Peace is a person. And his name is Jesus. And that's the title of the message this morning. If you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message, we're talking about peace, and peace is a person. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are peace. Would you teach us this morning how to receive you, the person of peace, that we would stop trying and striving, and we would learn just to exist with you. Lord, I think this is one that we really need. Would you settle in our hearts this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to start out with a picture illustration that I'll carry throughout the message, something that I recently experienced. Recently, I took my family on a road trip. Where are my road trip people? Come on. Where are the cheap people who refuse to pay for flights? Where are we at? Come on, somebody. That's right. Frugal in there, right here, right? I ain't flying five people. Are you kidding me? No. So recently, we took our family vacation. I take 2 weeks, beginning of summer every year, and we headed We headed to Florida. That's just always our place that we go. And because of our schedule, we had to jump on a cruise on Monday. But I wanted to preach, so I preached the 11 o'clock service here. And I went outside to a loaded car. And I got in the car and I drove. Because we had to be on a cruise, I drove all night, people. That's the first time I've ever done that. Drive all night. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's right. Now, listen, this is not a proud moment for me. I think this is pride, but I'm just the kind of guy that doesn't let my wife drive. Men, anybody else? Anybody else prideful want to admit it in church? That's right. I have nothing against my wife. Frankly, she's a better driver than me. Okay, I will admit that in front of my friends here. I didn't want commentary, babe. I'm just saying, like, it's just a confession. You didn't need to. So I drove all night, and so it's late, it's dark, everybody's exhausted, and one by one, I'm watching my family all fall asleep, including my wife, right? And I'm thinking, you know, this is kind of a weird thing. Like, if you just take a step back and think about this for a moment, it's kind of wild, because we are in a moving vehicle going 75, maybe 95 miles an hour, on a dark highway, and we have a lot of cops in here, forgive me. On a highway full of strangers going the equal speed at us, right? And so many dangers that they don't even know exist, and they're sound asleep. Like, completely at peace. Not because the road was smooth or the night was safe. They were at peace, you got to hear me, because of the person who was driving. They didn't check their GPS. They didn't ask about the weather. They just trusted that Dad had it under control. And they closed their eyes. On Father's Day of all days, I think that's one of the greatest things a dad can give his kids. Not a perfect life. Not a new car. Not a problem-free road. But a presence they trust enough to rest in. And church, that's the exact same kind of peace that God wants to give you today. But here's where most of us get it wrong. We think peace is found in the absence of something. So if I just eliminate this problem in my life, I will achieve peace. If I eliminate this person, anybody got a person in your life you want to eliminate? Eliminate a person in my life, then I will have peace. Less traffic, less danger, less chaos, less uncertainty. We think if we get rid of that, then we can see the whole picture and we will finally have peace. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what the Bible teaches. If you're taking message notes, you can write this down. Biblical peace is not found in absence. It's found in presence. And not just any presence. The presence in the person of Jesus. John 14, 27 tells us this. Jesus speaking, "Peace I leave with you. In my peace I give it to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." In other words, the things that your neighbors are chasing for peace, it's not God. And you're not going to get it, peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. But you got to catch this verse right here. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "I will remove the troubles in your life." Rather, He said, "You're going to have troubles in your life, but I'm going to give you peace through the troubles in your life." He's not handing you a smoother road. He's promising you that I will be with you while you're traveling on the road. He's handing himself to you and asking you to trust who's driving. The word peace in the New Testament is this Greek word, irion, and in the Old Testament it's the Hebrew word, shalom. Neither word, get this, means the absence of trouble. So biblically, peace is not the absence of trouble, but rather, the words mean this: wholeness, completeness, fullness, nothing missing, nothing lacking. That's what God wants to offer you today. Not the absence of trouble, but wholeness and fullness. Not a problem-free road, but instead a person you can fall asleep trusting. In fact, the Bible talks about peace being given to God as names. Romans 15:33 says he is the God of peace. Isaiah 9:6 says he is the Prince of Peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says he is the Lord of peace. You see, he doesn't just, you got to catch this, give us peace. He is peace. So if peace is a person, that changes the whole question. The question stops being, how do I find peace? Which is what we hear all the time. I want to achieve peace. My life is chaotic. I need peace. So instead of the question saying, how do I find peace? It starts becoming, how do I trust the one who is driving, who is peace? How do I trust Jesus? And when you do, anxiety doesn't get the final word. Peace does every single time. Because peace isn't something you chase down a road. Peace is someone you ride with down the road. So three things I want to show you today. I want to talk about peace, how the Bible sees peace. How do we actually get there? How do we move from having a heart that is anxious to having a heart that trusts in peace, trusts in Jesus? Three things I want to give you today if you're taking message notes. The first thing is this: prayer is the pathway to peace. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And before I read a story to you, I want to give you some context to this passage that will help us to understand the passage. You see, a few weeks ago, Allie and I had the privilege to go to Greece, and we followed the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. It was a great trip for me as a pastor, preacher, communicator, to really apply the scriptures and see them in person. And we got to stand in a jail cell that Paul and Silas stood in and were imprisoned in the city of Philippi. In this jail cell, they were beaten, they were shackled, they were chained. You can read about it in Acts 16. It's this small, dark stone room. I took a picture of it, and I want to show it to you. This is the actual jail cell that Paul and Silas stood in the city of Philippi. But let me tell you the story behind this that helps us understand where God is leading us in this thing of peace. Here's what happened in that jail cell at midnight. Chains. They're chained. And after being flogged, Paul and Silas, they didn't complain. They prayed all night. They sang hymns of praise to God so loudly that the other prisoners heard them singing. And God sent an earthquake to shake the foundations. It broke every chain loose. And that ended with the jailer and his entire family giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. That right there is where the church of Philippi was born, in a jail cell at midnight, in pain and worship. Now, here's where the story gets a little bit more powerful. Years later, Paul was imprisoned again, this time in Rome. And from that second prison cell, he wrote a letter back to the very same church in Philippi, the one that was born out of the first imprisonment. And in that letter, he writes the most powerful passage on peace in the entire Bible. This wasn't, you got to get this on Paul. This wasn't a theory from a man who had an easy life. This was a conviction tested twice in chains, in prison, from a man who had every reason to be anxious, but instead chose peace. I want to read the passage to you. Philippians 4, 4 through 7 says this. He's in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. You didn't hear me. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You got to think about Paul standing in that jail cell. And I'm standing there in that cell there in Philippi, and I thought about this. The man was writing this that says, do not be anxious about anything. He's not writing from a beach, some, you know, great place in the world on vacation. He's writing it from a jail cell in Rome, in chains, years after he'd already been beaten and locked up in that very city he was writing to. That should tell us something. That peace was never meant for luxury seasons of life. It was tested and proven in jail cells. Maybe for you in waiting rooms. in back seats of dark highways. Then he goes on to say, now don't be anxious about anything, which might be the most challenging verse in the entire Bible. Hey, church, don't be anxious about anything. How you doing with that? Doing good? Passing that test? But if you look closely at what Paul is actually saying, the word anxious in the original language, you got to catch this, doesn't mean don't ever feel troubled. So when he says don't be anxious about anything, it does not mean, hey, don't feel troubled. It actually means don't be consumed by your cares. There's a difference between anxiety knocking on the door and anxiety moving into the house, taking over the mortgage and rearranging the furniture of your life. Jesus said it himself in John 16, 33. He said this, in this world, you will have trouble. Aren't you glad you came to church today to be encouraged? Jesus says you will have trouble. So the problem was never, will trouble show up? The problem is, what do I do when trouble shows up? So if you ever thought about that in your life, you may have some troubles. You may have some problems. You may have some issues. You were not promised that you won't have those things. Instead, the Bible says you will. Jesus says you will have those things. And he gives us some steps to take when those things show up. And here it is right here. Prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. You got some problems in your life? Jesus gives us the answer. The problem is prayer. The solution to the problem is prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Prayer. It's simply telling God what's going on. No script needed, no formal posture, no need to sound spiritual. I counsel with a lot of people, and I'm amazed at how many Christians don't want to pray. They blame it on they don't know what to say. Like, heaven forbid I actually ask you to pray out loud. I mean, they think that that is like the hardest thing to do for a person. You're making it too spiritual. This is about a relationship. Think about it like a kid in the back seat finally waking up. They're not coming at me in this formal way. They don't request this formal sight. You know, they just call out dad. Call out dad. That's it. That's prayer. It's not about the words. That's about the relationship behind the words. Just talk to them. Hey, God, here's what's happening. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's where I need you. You know God wants to hear from you? You know God's not burdened by what you have to bring to him? And by the way, he's not surprised by it either. He was there when it happened. He's also not disappointed in you for thinking that way. He just wants you to bring it to him. Imagine if your kids refused to talk to you, and some of you struggle with that. That's hard. Here's the truth. The worst thing you can do with anxiety is hold it in. Because anxiety was never designed to live in you, peace was designed to live in you. In our daily devotionals, we, at the beginning of January and August, we have devotionals available for our church where we're reading the Bible together as a church. There's a scripture passage in there. There's a prayer in there. There is solitude in there and some journal spots. It's very easy. If you want one of those, you can pick one up in the bookstore. We'll have the next edition out in August as we start the new school year with 21 days of prayer. But what I love most about those devotionals is there is a section in there that's the Lord's Prayer. Can I just be honest and tell you as a pastor, this is what has changed my life the most? Is praying through the Lord's Prayer every single day. Now, I grew up Anglican. We recited the Lord's Prayer, so I knew the Lord's Prayer. But when you stop reciting the Lord's Prayer and you begin to pray through the Lord's Prayer, everything changes. Our Father who art in heaven, God, I worship you. Thank you for who you are. You are amazing. You are glorious. You are the God of God. Just start going down. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I'm asking for you to establish your kingdom through me today. Use me as your hands and feet. I just kind of go through it and pray it. Man, there's nothing more powerful. I do that every single day. There's research on this. Studies on suppressing anxiety consistently show that the more we try to manage stress internally without ever voicing it, the more our bodies carry it physically. So we have elevated cortisol. We have disrupted sleep. We have this nervous system stuck in this fight or flight, and we're stressed. You were not designed to white knuckle your way through life. God knew that before any study ever confirmed it. That's why he asks us to, he doesn't just allow us to pray, he asks us to pray. So we have prayer, and then he has petition. This is different than prayer. Petition is specific. It's not just, God, I'm stressed, and let me just voice my problems to you. It's, God, in this situation, I'm asking for you to move. You're petitioning the heart of God. That's faith activated. That's believing that God is actually able to do the very thing that you're praying for. And then we get to Thanksgiving. What's different about this, what I want you to catch, is I am thanking God for the answered prayer before I even see it. God, I don't see it yet, but I thank you, and I trust you. You're moving, you are working, you've not let me down before, you're not going to start today. When we enter into this rhythm of prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, this is what happens. The verse concludes with this: the peace of God then transcends understanding. Like, you won't get it. It won't make sense to your mind, but it's going to guard your hearts and your minds. Now, this guard wasn't a suggestion or a feeling. A guard was a military post, a fortification, soldiers who stood at the gates of a city or the gates of a jail cell. And Paul is saying, when you live in this rhythm, the peace of God becomes a fortress around your heart and your mind. God stands guard, which is what we need. It doesn't make you just feel good in the moment. The peace of God guards your life. Think about it this way. On the drive with my kids, I wasn't just hoping nothing bad would happen. I was awake. I was alert. I was watching the road, making decisions every second to protect the ones who were in the car. Their peace wasn't passive. It was active by someone who was guarding post, who was wide awake and alert. That's what God does with our hearts and our minds. We bring our cares to Him. We bring our worries to Him. We bring our anxiety to Him, and He carries it. He doesn't just tell you to relax. He goes, I'll take it, and I'm going to stand guard now. Prayer, petition, thanksgiving. That's the pathway to peace. Here's a second point to find real peace today. Peace is found in presence, not absence. I love this one. You know, we spend so much of our lives trying to create peace. We're trying to manufacture peace. We're trying to find peace by eliminating problems. But then something happens. You eliminate one problem and another problem shows up. So you finally get through the financial stress, but man, now you have a health situation and you're back in the same place of anxiety. You work through this relational tension, you figure it out, and now something happens at work and you find yourself back in the same state of anxiety. You get one thing settled and then three more show up in its place. You got to hear me, church. If peace requires the absence of problems, nobody will ever get there. I read a recent study from the American Psychological Association that said the average adult reports dealing with multiple significant stressors at the same time. I don't know if you found this for yourself. It doesn't come one at a time. They come at the same time and they stack up on each other. We're not built to solve our way into peace one problem at a time, because the problems, they don't take turns. They pile up. But Jesus never offered us a problem-free life. He offered us His presence in the middle of a problem-filled life. My kids weren't asleep because I promised them nothing dangerous existed on that highway. There were cars, there was construction, there were wild animals. The danger didn't disappear because I was driving. They were at a peace because they trusted the One who was awake and aware of it all. Even when they couldn't see it themselves, they trusted. That's the difference between peace by elimination, which is what some of us seek after, and peace by presence. You know, David understood this. He actually wrote about this in probably his most famous psalm, Psalm 23. And he wrote this from a place of danger. Listen to what he says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley," maybe that resonates with you today. He's in a dark valley, "but I will fear no evil because of presence. You are with me. And not only that, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." David's, he didn't say God's removing the valley, removing the enemies. The valley's still dark. The enemies are still present. But Jesus is sitting at the table with them. And because of his presence, he will fear no evil. There's a phrase that's repeated all throughout the Psalms. And he says, "You are with me." Not "you've removed my problems and you made me an easy life." Because the problems are here. But you're with me here as well. Someone needs that today. God is with you today. He's not far from you. He's not in the clouds, like watching you from afar. He is near. He's with us. Peace was never about an empty valley. Peace was always about a present God. If you think about a tree in a storm, when the wind picks up, the tree bends. It sways, sometimes violently. And from a distance, it looks like that tree is going to snap in half. But if there are deep roots to the tree does not fail. The storm doesn't destroy it because what's underneath is stronger than what's above. That's a picture of peace. Peace isn't standing perfectly still while the storm rages around you and you're faking this peace thing. Peace is being rooted deep enough that the storm doesn't take you down. Healthy roots produce healthy fruit. A tree rooted in the presence of God, you can shake it, but you cannot break it. Some of us have been trying to find peace in things that were never designed to give it. And the things that we go to, they're not necessarily bad things. They're just the wrong things. Scrolling, busyness, productivity, planning, control, entertainment, relationships, routine. All of us probably identify with those things, but these things can create the feeling of peace only temporarily. But they don't produce the fruit of peace in us permanently. Because you can numb anxiety. We see it all the time. But numbing is not healing. Amen. You can manage anxiety, but managing it is not being free from it. You can medicate a problem, and I think this is also one of the biggest problems of our culture. But medicating it is not the same as mending it. Jesus offers something better. He says in John 14, "I do not give as the world gives. What the world gives, it wears off. But what Jesus gives, guards, stands." Romans 8, 6, "The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." Here's how I would say it. If you're taking message notes, you can write this down. Peace is the fruit of a mind surrendered to the Spirit. You want some peace in your life? Is your mind surrendered to the Spirit of God? I'm not saying a mind that's figured everything out or has eliminated every problem, but a mind that says, "God, no matter what happens, you're in control. You're driving, not me." That's surrender. And that's where peace grows. You know, some of you have been fighting so hard to control everything around you. There's a phrase in our culture, the control freaks, right? We've been white-knuckling the wheel of our own life, refusing to let anybody else drive, even God. And I want to say this with love. The tighter you grip the things that you cannot control, the further peace gets from you. Isaiah said it this way, 26 Verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Not those who control every outcome, not those who eliminate every threat, but those who trust in Jesus. So I say it this way, peace is not found in control. You want some peace? It's found in surrender. Not surrender to the situation or the person, but surrender to God who is greater than the situation or the person. If my kids had spent that whole night wide awake, backseat driving, grabbing the handles of the door, yelling at me, man, we all would have been exhausted. How many are backseat drivers? Just, okay, let me ask you a different way. How many are sitting next to a backseat driver? Just, you know, maybe I say it a different way. Hey, it's Father's Day, okay? We get a pass. Listen, I say this in love. Some of you have been backseat driving your life, your entire life. White knuckled, wide awake, exhausted, trying to control everything. But listen, you may backseat drive physically, but spiritually, if you do it, it's exhausting and it never works. I heard about a man years ago who described his anxiety like driving with both feet pressed down on the gas and the brake. He said that's what fear does. It guns the engine and slams on the brake at the same time, and all you do is burn out the transmission of your soul. It's exhausting. It's not sustainable. That's not how God designed you to live. You don't have to have it all figured out, but you do have to trust the one who does. So church, it's time to let go of the wheel, to let him drive, and watch what happens to your peace. And remember the advice of the great theologian Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. All right, here's the third one. We'll wrap it up with this one. Right thinking is the practice that preserves peace. Paul doesn't stop at prayer. He gives us one more thing, and I think this is something that you cannot miss. Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, here you go right here, church. Think about those things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's making a distinction here that changes everything. And here it is right here. If you're taking message notes, write this down. If you're not taking message notes, write this down. Prayer is how you get peace. Right thinking is how you keep it. Because here's what I know. You can pray on your way to church. You can sing in this room and worship. You can feel the presence of God and the peace of God settle over you. And then you can go out to your car. You can open up your phone, you can check social media, and then the peace of God leaves you. Listen, it's not because God took it back. He does not do that. It's because you let anxiety back in. There's actual research that confirms this. Studies on media consumption have found that people who check the news first thing in the morning report significantly higher levels of anxiety throughout the day than those who don't. What you constantly feed your mind eventually shapes the condition of your heart. So show me what's on repeat in your mind, and I'll show you what's true about your life. Like if you fill, think of, just it makes sense. If you fill your mind with bad news, you will be anxious. Anxiety grows. If you fill your mind with worst-case scenarios, fear grows. If you fill your mind with what is wrong, bitterness will grow. If you deliberately, intentionally fill your mind with what is true, right, noble, pure, lovely, admirable, peace will grow. Your mind's a garden. Whatever you plant grows. You can't plant anxiety seeds every morning and expect peace to grow in the afternoon. That's not how a garden works, and that's not how your mind works either. And honestly, most of us have been planting so many seeds of anxiety before we even get out of bed. Before our feet hit the floor, our phone is in our hand, scrolling, group chats, notifications, checking the news. Those are all signs of anxiety. And then we wonder why peace feels so far from us. You can't water fear all day and be surprised when peace never arrives. Paul says, be intentional about what you plant. Whatever is true, plant that. Whatever is right, plant that. And the God of peace will be with you. Like, that's a promise. That's not a suggestion or a he might be. No, he will be with you when you plant seeds of what is right and noble and pure. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. If you're struggling with a lack of peace today, church, let me ask you, when was the last time you meditated on the scriptures? When was the last time you spent time with Jesus and actually put this into practice? I want to close with this. Most of us are walking around like passengers who never fell asleep, wide awake, white-knuckled, full of control, watching every mile for danger. Life has gripped you. Life has shaken you. People have messed you up. Circumstances have had their way with you, and fear has overtaken you. And we keep trying to settle ourselves down. I gotta get over this anxiety. I gotta figure it out. I need another book. I need another plan. I gotta manage this. I gotta medicate this. I gotta numb this. But then nothing settles. And here's what I want you to hear today. You were never meant to settle yourself. You were meant to surrender yourself to a person. That's why we go with prayer and petition and thanksgiving. We're leaning back and saying, God, I can't do this anymore. I'm handing you the wheel. And when you do, the peace of God, which doesn't make sense, which is bigger than your minds can comprehend, will flood in your heart. And it's going to guide you and guard you. I want to just close with a story here and be vulnerable for a moment because, you see, as a pastor, I don't just want this to be a message that I preach. I want this to be something that I live out. Now, here at Zayo, behind the scenes, we've been going through something that has brought me as the senior pastor much anxiety and stress. I don't need to walk through it with you in the details today, and I will in the days ahead, but I want to tell you this, that there have been nights that my mind wouldn't stop spinning, where I felt the weight of every decision and possible outcomes, and what I had to realize is that those were never mine to carry in the first place. And though I might be the pastor of this church, I had to do some deep digging and realize that this isn't my church. This is God's church. Jesus said it himself that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I had to make a choice over and over again, sometimes daily, to find peace in the middle of chaos. Not by fixing everything myself, not by gripping that wheel tighter, but by leaning into the person of Jesus who is peace. And I got to tell you, as I have done that, it has become greater than I ever could have imagined. Not because I figured it out, but because God figured it out. He knew all along. He was just waiting for me to surrender. See, he's writing our story, and the story is going to be better than the one I could have written for Zayo Church. Because if I had taken over, if I had grabbed that steering wheel and tried to control every outcome, it would have become my story and not his. And my story is never going to be as good as God's story. It was never mine to carry. So church, if your pastor needs to learn this one, chances are you might need to as well. Some of you came in today carrying a heavy weight. It's caused you to stress, to be filled with anxiety. And I believe the invitation of Jesus today is to lay it down. Not because he's going to snap his fingers and take away your problems. That's not what he promises. But because he's with you. And he is enough. Because peace was never a feeling you chase, never a technique you can master. Peace was never the absence or elimination of a problem. Peace has always been a person, and his name is Jesus. And God loves you so much that he chooses not to stay distant from you. Instead, he comes down and he enters into the storm with you. He walks into the anxiety with you. He steps into your chaos with you. Jesus went to the cross and he purchased not only your forgiveness and your salvation, but he purchased peace for you. He is the Prince of Peace, and he has given you a birthright to achieve peace. You don't have to live shaken. You don't have to live with your heart racing and your mind spinning 24/7. Because the one who calmed the storm with his voice is in you. So stop trying to manufacture peace and find it. Instead, trust the one who's driving. Lean back. Close your eyes if you have to. Because peace was never meant to be something you find. Peace is someone you trust. So stop trying to find peace today, and instead, the invitation is to receive the person of peace. Can I pray for you? I just feel it so strongly today because I know how bad anxiety is in our culture. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that God ever put in you. It's something you allowed in. And God says, I don't want that in there. I want that out. And I want to give you peace instead. So today, I just want to pray for you. If you feel like this is something you're struggling with, can I invite you to pray a prayer to let Jesus in, the person of peace? He's not going to bring you peace. He is peace. And he wants to fill you with it today. So that's you today, right where you're at. I just want you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I invite you in today. Like for real this time. I know I've prayed prayers and I've begged and I've asked, but right now, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm asking for you to change me from the inside out. I'm asking you to fill me with the fruits of the Spirit. I surrender my life to you. I give control of my life to you. You are the Lord of my life. Do whatever you want to do. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer.